Welcome to Sideline Judgment. My name is Sergio.
My name is Tyler.
And what we have for you today is a pre-recorded episode over the holiday break where Tyler, my stepdad, Raul, and I sit down and we talk about our dream college football scenarios. What we want in conference realignment, what we want in playoff, how do we call it? Playoff renegotiations. Playoff expansion, that kind of stuff.
Reevaluation.
And basically,
words.
What we would like for college football to be like in a perfect world. So what you're about to listen to is that. We hope you enjoy. Keep an eye out for our future basketball gymnastics episodes and our way too early top 25.
It's never too
for
early
for 2018. It's
about.
Definitely too early, Tyler. I don't know where you mean.
It just ended. It's always time. We're not talking about 2018 anymore.
And without further ado, enjoy the college football manifesto episode. Welcome to Sideline Judgment. My name is Sergio.
My name is Tyler.
And today we are joined by a very special guest, my own stepfather, Mr. Raul Rivera. Welcome.
Hello, guys. A long-time listener.
I'd like to put a disclaimer that Raul is a huge FAU fan, an alumnus, and a season ticket holder for what, 5 years now? More.
Six years.
2011. Yes. So to those who thought that FAU didn't have a football program before Lane Kiffin, you are wrong. You are wrong. My family's been going to games for a long time. But we're not here to talk about FAU specifically today. Today's a special holiday episode that Sideline Judgment has put together. Today we are talking about our dream college football scenarios. Tyler, you want to explain kind of what that means?
We're just going to really be breaking down some of the kind of things that we dream about at night because we're weird people and we do that. and we're basically in a dream, like, you know, things if we could change things about the current landscape and the way college football works, what would we change to make it better? What would we change to make it perfect?
I like that.
At least that's what I'm doing.
I like that. And I think we're going to get a great perspective because you and I, we're both Power 5 guys. We go to UF. We follow the Power 5 schools more often. We don't really talk about the Group of 5 as often on this pod. But Raul is in Conference USA with FAU and is deep into the Group of 5 and probably is one of the best people that we can talk to give us and our audience a perspective from a Group of 5 school and what that is like. So without further ado, we're going to start off with Mr. Raul Rivera. Go ahead, Dad, and give us your dream college football scenario. What do you want to talk about?
Well, I have a manifesto.
A manifesto.
I've been waiting for years to be listened. I'm against entitlement, and I think that if we have a Division I college football situation, we should have we should allow G5 schools to at least have a long shot into trying to sneak into some kind of playoff or some kind of national championship opportunity.
So for the sake of the pod, G5 is going to be Group of 5,
yes.
And P5 is going to be Power 5.
Yeah, exactly.
Got it. Cool. Just so we're clarifying. Go ahead, Dad.
So I have four options that we always discussed, and they're not in particular order. They're not in particular order. So I think that we deserve a chance.
Okay.
Go G5.
Give us your manifesto.
So the first option that I think just makes sense is to have all champions to do some kind of one-game elimination tournament.
Okay.
Similar to the basketball one, right? Where you can have the some of the 41 bowl games that we have in December tied up to these games. And then you start eliminating the weaker competition. And if the difference is as wide as we think it is between G5 and P5, Power 5, then the Power 5 teams will prevail and they will win the championships as usual. But we will have a chance for an upset everybody has a bad day.
Yeah, and that's probably what makes March Madness so exciting, the fact that any team can beat any other team on any given day.
Yeah, except FAU. FAU's basketball team is horrible. But besides that, for example, the first thing I thought when you told me to do this, I think that we could have an 8-team tournament.
Okay.
I will consider the American as a weaker Power 5, so I will say a
Power 6,
where you have the American with an automatic bid into this tournament, so you have 6 teams.
So Big 10, Big 12, Pac-12, ACC, SEC, and then American.
Yes.
Okay.
All champions go to this tournament, plus two groups of fives, because I understand there's a gap. And mm-hmm. I get it. So I would say you can get the other the group five, which now is a group of four,
mm-hmm.
eliminate each other, the champions, and then you have the two better teams coming into this tournament where you seed them. And then just whoever wins goes, right?
So what you're saying here is that you would have the six power or power six now, including yeah. the American, and then a 4-team playoff from the remaining conference champions, which is now group of four rather than group of five.
Exactly.
To get those last two spots in an 18 tournament.
And I know I cannot say what I wrote, but let's say screw Notre Dame. If they don't want to play in a conference, then I don't think they deserve that.
Okay.
That's my personal opinion.
Okay.
The other thing I was thinking of, if that doesn't work, if Nick Saban doesn't approve, is to have all champions, which is 10
mm-hmm.
teams, plus two at large. That way, I guess we help Notre Dame, and you have a ranked team
mm-hmm.
sneaking in. I will give the top four a bye, so rankings can still mean something.
Okay.
I think it's exciting still to find the rankings at the end of the week.
Okay.
So you have four teams with a bye, the remaining eight have a playoff, and then we have four winners against the top four in the nation, and you see them based on the rankings, and you end up having just a quarterfinals, semifinals, and a championship game.
Okay.
And that way, Notre Dame gets in, I guess, and UMass. I don't know who else is an independent.
BYU is an independent as well.
So yeah. You have all champions and the top four, because they had a better year and they are ranked, then they get to rest an extra day, and, mm-hmm. and that gives them that advantage.
So this would be a 12-team tournament, 10 conference champions, two at large. The top four get a bye, and then we're left with an 18 playoff.
Yeah.
Okay.
The other option that I was considering was let's go Power 5 heavy and say, okay, the Power 5 can have not only the conference champions, but also the runner-ups.
Okay.
So whoever wins a championship game, and because before I was trying to give another meaning to a championship game, right? But you get both teams in a playoff system.
Okay.
So you have 10 teams from the Power 5. The G5 will only provide the champion. So for the G5 is one takes all and one at large. Again, Notre Dame, right? Mm-hmm. In case they want to sneak in, or there's a third group of five, Power 5 team that deserves to be considered, so mm-hmm. they have an extra spot. And just a regular tournament system based on seeds. So the top seed probably, the top seed, the team in the nation will play against one of the champions from the
group. So five. Let's say the winner of the ACC would be the one seed, and the winner of the Sun Belt would be the 16.
Exactly. So right okay. As of now, who's number one? It's Alabama or Clemson?
Clemson.
Clemson. So right now you'll have probably Clemson playing Troy.
Okay.
Which is an interesting match, this South Carolina and Alabama.
Which right. happened last year, I think. Right, Tyler?
Yeah, they played last
and
year.
And it was a close game at halftime.
Clemson won by 2 points. I don't know how I know that.
And if you tell a group of five team that they have one chance to try to make it, and they're good enough, and Troy has been playing a decent football for years.
Mm-hmm.
It's a steady program. So you have that opportunity.
Right.
And the seeds are based on their final rankings.
Mm-hmm.
So you theoretically, the Alabamas, the Oklahomas, they have still a chance to have an easier path because they will be playing the weakest teams, right?
Right.
And the last one, I read about this, so it's not 100% my idea.
Okay.
I had thought about that at some point, but this guy had it very organized. A promotion relegation system only in football.
Okay, time out. For those without the knowledge, in the sport of soccer around the globe,
everywhere,
there is a system called promotion and relegation where there are multiple divisions within a country, and the winner of the lower division at the end of the season is promoted to the top division, and while the bottom place team of the top division is relegated down to the lower division. Typically, it's 2 to 3 teams, but this way a team can start up from nothing and eventually can make it to the top league.
We had the example of what, Leicester, was it?
Yeah, so we have the example of Leicester City, who won the Premier League 2 years ago. They were in the fourth division, I think it was 8 years ago. Yeah. And then they ended up moving up and moving up and moving up. And finally, they won the whole thing. They won the Premier League.
The first year of the Premier League, they won.
Exactly, and yeah.
Something that if you come from a soccer-heavy country, something mm-hmm. that makes it the tournament very interesting is not only figuring out who's going to win the national title, but also who's going to be relegated. And, mm-hmm. and those teams tend to play very physical, and those are very interesting games. And,
right.
So what I had was a way to tie up the Power Fives to the G5s in a way that makes sense geographically. Mm-hmm. And I know that people will say, wait, you can't just invite teams from another conference. But if Notre Dame can play ACC heavy schedules, mm-hmm. I mean, we can do that for football. So I figure out you can have, for example, right, like the Pac-12 tied up with the
WAC.
The WAC. So the champion of the WAC will replace the lowest team in the Pac-12 mm-hmm. the following year. Then I will have probably the SEC with the Sun Belt, the Big 12 with the MAC, the Big 10 with the American, ACC with Conference USA. And because I know, like, the argument is always that the champion of the G5 has nothing to do with the champion of a Power 5. But I can argue that if you put UCF to play North Carolina or Syracuse, they can probably beat them. Especially this year.
Yeah.
And I'm just looking at this.
So what you're saying is that the wide isn't as gap from the bottom of a Power Five to the top of a group of five.
Exactly.
Maybe two middle tier teams from each conference, maybe there's a gap. Or maybe the top.
If you would have asked me 4 weeks ago, uh-huh. I would have said the gap was not that big. But I saw what Conference USA did in the bowl games and how we beat them.
Uh-huh.
So I think that the difference between UCF, I believe strongly that the best teams in the G5 are UCF, USF, Memphis, Boise, and FAU.
Uh-huh.
And the gap between them and the rest is...
In Fresno State,
yes.
Yeah.
But if you see, like, Toledo got destroyed just a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that if you get the top teams in a G5, I'm confident that at least two of the five that will be promoted can stay in the Power 5 conference for a few years, even if he's not as a champion, but they will be able to fight and to play in that midsection and not be relegated the following year. And of course, mm-hmm. if the argument is that they are not good enough, they will stay 1 year, and then they will be gone. But for a G5 school, the recruiting will improve considerably. Mm-hmm. If FAU says that, As good as the recruiting has been the last few years with Partridge and now with Kiffin, if FAU says, okay, well, next year we're going to play Miami, Louisville, Clemson, Florida State, Pittsburgh on a regular basis, our attendance will increase and our recruitment will get better.
Mm-hmm.
And that plus good coaching would mean that I'm convinced that the well-coached schools will have a chance to remain.
And okay.
That's very interesting, because that would fix what is usually my biggest issue when people say that the group of five teams should be considered for the playoff in the current format, which my biggest issue is not whether or not they're good enough. It's whether or not they've deserved it over the grueling enough schedule, because their schedules are very different.
Absolutely.
But this would eliminate that issue, because if you get good, you get a tougher schedule to prove it. And I think that's an interesting idea.
Yeah, and I understand the argument against the group of five. Like, I'm not blind. I understand there's a gap. The latest argument was with UCF.
Mm-hmm.
UCF was playing great, and I think that they were well ahead of the competition at the group of five level.
Right.
I don't think they're anywhere close to Clemson, Alabama, Oklahoma, or Georgia. They're nowhere close to that.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes you think, okay, if you are stuck, because that's what you are, you're stuck on a schedule because nobody else will give you the opportunity. And then you cannot, there's a point where if you get good enough, bigger schools don't want to schedule you because it would be bad if they lose or if they don't win big.
Yeah, we saw that. We saw that during Carson Wentz's run at North Dakota State, where Division I teams wouldn't schedule North Dakota State on their schedule
because they beat them.
Yeah, because yeah. Carson Wentz would beat them. I think if you look back, North Dakota State's record against FBS teams, first division teams, is something like 8-1 in their last nine matches, nine games.
They won five straight FCS national championships.
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah,
like that's more dominant than anything we've seen at the FBS level.
Yeah,
five straight is very difficult. So yeah, that is something that happens, mm-hmm. and that could happen.
That was a coach that I wanted for FAU.
Before Kiffin,
yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, and even by the time that Kiffin was hired, because you didn't know what you were getting.
Right.
I was convinced that these guys should have considered the
North Dakota State.
Yeah. Guy. Because as he says, I mean, 5 years, to be at the top of your conference for 5 years is impressive, especially with the turnaround that you get with kids.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I think that it's not... I don't think it's viable to think that that UCF deserved to be in the playoff, but I think that it's because the system is flawed.
Right.
And at least they got into the New Year's...
New Year's Six. Yeah, well, they're as the highest-ranked Group of Five team, they're guaranteed a New Year's Six bowl.
Exactly.
So that's what it is in the current contract.
Like, I can tell you... seeing a lot of FAU football this year. And I can tell you, at least it was exciting. My problem is that I would have loved to see FAU playing a better team to see exactly how better we are, because mm-hmm. I thought our competition was better than what the bowl games have told me.
Right. And, especially your bowl game.
Well, yeah, I mean, and Akron was the runner-up to the...
Akron was the runner-up in the MAC.
Yes, and then Louisiana Tech lost bad. FIU lost bad. Middle Tennessee won, but barely against Arkansas
State. Yeah, with a horrible secondary.
We watched the game together.
Yeah.
UAB got destroyed.
UAB mm-hmm. got destroyed, and they were supposed to be the story, right? They were supposed to be the...
Yeah.
So...
I don't want to talk about how that relates to the Florida offense, but that's another story.
Well, I can tell you with confidence that somebody at the FAU blog was almost begging to allow Tennessee to play a bowl game and to have them play with us.
I would have loved to see Florida State for FAU.
Yeah, that would have been good. That's the game that we were.
Yes,
we wanted to see that or against USF.
USF would have been mm-hmm.
that would have been a really good game,
but. It's not possible, and we're going to still play Conference USA schedule next year. Nothing wrong against that, but...
Well, let's talk about you're out of conference. You're out of conference, you're traveling to Norman, Oklahoma,
woohoo!
And then you travel to UCF in Orlando.
Yes.
I think there's not a better year for you to have those two games on your schedule, granted on what those two teams are doing, and also granted on how FAU's season went this year, you know?
Mm-hmm. I'm just thankful that Mayfield is graduating.
And hopefully,
and along with that, but I think they had five or six.
Kids. They got a five. Well, they got a five star backing them up. So I mean,
we
count your blessings there, but
we have an Oklahoma dropout as a quarterback.
Transfer.
Not dropout. Transfer.
Yeah, he was like a four star quarterback that got kicked off the team for disciplinary reasons, and then transferred to FAU.
Yeah.
So he'll come be eligible next year. Come to the FAU. Wow. Okay. Well, those are great ideas. Tyler, do you have anything to say about them? Do you want a little recap? We have it pulled up here.
Do a bowl recap?
No. Recap on this manifesto here. Do you have anything to say that we haven't already covered?
I think they're very interesting ideas, all of them. It's interesting because those ideas are founded on a completely separate principle than the one that I'm about to pitch.
Okay.
But it's interesting because those are truly college football dream scenarios, because the thing is TV contracts have so much to do with conference alignment,
mm-hmm.
and it'd be very difficult. But I would love to see that, especially considering how fluid college football scheduling is. It's pretty much the only level of football where you get to pick a lot of your schedule.
Right.
So in that regard, I think that'd be an interesting way. It would happen if that'd be an interesting way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
My only concern with that is that I'm still, to this day, I'm still not huge into automatically assigning Power 5 conference or really any conference champions
a spot at a playoff,
assigning them giving an automatic qualifier.
Okay.
Just because there can be 8-4 teams that make it to the conference championship.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're just one game away from wrecking the whole thing. But at the same time, I think, especially with, and I'm about to go into this with my thing, especially with group of five teams and the matter of that their overall record can sometimes not be taken into as much account because they play teams that are on a Power 5 level that are vastly different from theirs,
mm-hmm.
like that are vastly superior. Like, I'm not going to knock Mercer's get loss against Alabama because it's Mercer at Alabama, something like that. So yeah. It's interesting. It's an interesting idea. It's very interesting, and it'd be a good way to bring the two leagues, I would say, closer together.
Right.
My idea, which I'll go into
I was about
now,
to say, yeah, with that being said.
With that being said, my idea completely does away with that and separates them.
Okay.
I am proposing, and I'm putting this out as an idea, I am proposing there be a Power 5 playoff and a Group of 5 playoff.
Okay.
So that the Group of 5 teams can have their own playoff. And I'm going to go off some pros and cons of this. Immediate con, the biggest thing that people are not going to want about this is that this separates Group of 5 teams from Power 5 in every aspect, and it separates them even more. It literally draws a clear line in the sand that is not just talked about. It's like, you are literally different from us.
Mm-hmm.
It's on a different level of football. There's no conference or teams are going to, you know, it's going to be harder for teams to break into the Power 5 or vice versa. That being said, the pros of this, I think, is that it raises the national attention of the Group of Five.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have your own sort of playoff, it kind of raises, like, that's kind of, you assign relevance to it by saying this is a national semifinal, this is a national championship at this level of football. That's going to gain a lot of attention, I think. The other thing is that it kind of gives the Group of Five something to celebrate, something to get excited about and play for at their own level. But my biggest thing is that this would actually, I think that this could help programs in the Group of Five get better. It would help them retain coaches. Because the biggest thing, this happens every year in the American Athletic Conference. Guy comes in, spends 2 years at a school, he's really good, jumps ship to a Power 5 job. This is why the American Athletic Conference is probably the best of the Group of Five conferences as a whole, but is struggling to, wants to be considered Power 6, but kind of struggles to be considered that because a lot of their schools have very little staying power because a coach comes in, makes them really good, and then leaves.
Mm-hmm.
So if you give coaches something to play for, like something tangible that they can play for, they might want to stay at that school.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the biggest thing. Coaches leave because they can't win anything real at so-and-so school. And if you give them that, like, I mean, say Scott Frost, it wasn't, you know, from Nebraska. if this was a thing, he might have stayed at UCF. Because, like, I put it together. These are, like, the possible teams you could have in a 2017-14 playoff in the Group of Five. UCF, Troy, FAU, Boise State, Toledo, Memphis, USF. All, like, mm-hmm. these are teams that you could all put together. And I would like to see those teams play.
Yeah, I know us as football fans would love to see that. Because it's good football.
I mean, it's good football. I mean, I'd love to see UCF versus FAU.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that then this also would place more emphasis on your conference wins and losses because, again, at the current level, you're scheduling a lot of teams in the Power 5 that, like, they're kind of, for some teams, they're paid losses.
Right.
You know, I'm sure when FAU scheduled Wisconsin on their schedule this year and Oklahoma next year, they scheduled that years ago. They probably were doing that for money.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
For sure.
Definitely. I mean, so this kind of it reevaluates. So you can have teams with three losses on the schedule get in because you might discredit one or two of them. So this is an idea that I think could help both leagues. It could eliminate this argument of, you know, oh, we're being disrespected if you give them something, if you give the Group of Five something on its own to get excited about, something it's for its own to play for.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest con, again, going back to, would be that this separates the two kind of leagues from each other.
In that case,
and like my question for that is that if you're the AAC, is this something you want? Because you really want, I know that they really want they really want to try and break into the Power Five mold. They're really trying to push that.
They have a whole social media campaign and marketing campaign about saying Power Six.
When we played Navy, they had stuff like, I think something in their site that had a P6. Like officially.
Oh yeah, I saw when I was watching the USF the I-4, the war on I-4, the chain had the logo instead of having like the American logo, it just said P6.
Yeah, you see, that's like, and this is the question you would raise for them, because their thing is that if you gave them their own playoff, they would so clearly win so much. Mm-hmm. Like this year, UCF would probably win it. Mm-hmm. Just, I mean, this is all crazy dream scenarios. Three of the best Power Five teams are Memphis, USF, and UCF, and they're all from the same conference.
The only problem that I see with that is that automatically you are saying that they're Division Two. Because you can't call them basically. Division One. So Division Two is going to automatically become Division Three. And Division Three is automatically, I understand the point. And from the Power Five standpoint, it could make sense. But if you go and you ask a D5 school, it's almost like your parents saying, okay, you can sit with adults, but you're going to the kiddie table. And you are not getting the main meal. You're getting a happy meal. Like, it's
basically. And as much as I love some chicken fingers and fries, sometimes I want steak and mashed potatoes, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's why I said, like, the ASC the most would have to really consider this, because they're right there. They're trying to get into the Power Six, and you'd have to weigh, like, do we want to relegate ourselves to what is considered a lower division, but being top dog of that division, or do we still want to try and break into the upper level?
Well, I can tell you that was
brought up. It raises an interesting scenario, in my opinion.
I believe that was brought up on one of those meetings that these people have, or somebody mentioned that in an interview. I want to say WAC. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But the Americans and the Conference USA
representatives
stand on that situation was that an absolutely not. Those two conferences, at least, they don't want to even consider something like that. And I think it would work if you give the champion something else. Because at the end of the day, with all these schools, the reason why FAU jumped from the
Sunbelt.
From Division Two.
Oh, okay.
The names, the FBC?
FCS.
FCS.
Yeah.
The reason why they moved from FCS to the FBS.
I know. Yeah, okay. It is. Yeah, you're right. No, you got it. It's a lot of acronyms, I know, but it.
The reason why they jump is because the purpose was always to play Division One football. And by making that, by giving them another tournament, is making them Division Two again, unless the champion gets an opportunity to play with the big boys.
Yeah, and that's another scenario is that, and you could just have the Group of Five champion and Power Five champion playoff, but I don't think that would ever go down. My biggest thing with this idea for me was that I want to watch entertaining, meaningful football. And this gives me more of that, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because that gives these schools, the really good schools, something to play for in a meaningful situation. And I love watching UCF and FAU football. They're entertaining games to watch. Mm-hmm. And like, imagine them playing each other and it meaning something. That would be interesting.
It's like what we talked about, Tyler. We talked about the war on I-4 this year being the best college football game we saw the whole year.
Yeah.
That was the best college football game that we saw the entire year. And we saw we watched a lot of football this year. So the fact that two teams from the American gave us the most entertaining product of the year.
And he was not even the championship.
No, it was a rivalry game, which does give it something. But I mean, it was a de facto championship because the winner played in the championship game. But still, it was like a semi. Yeah, but still, it was a great game. It was a great game.
And I will say that is one thing going into it. This is going into a different category as far as the playoffs concerned. Uh-huh. But my other thing about the playoff that I caution people when seeking expansion is that if you're seeking expansion for the sake of getting teams from different conferences in, which is mostly what Raul here has been talking about, that I think is very, is very well warranted and noble. My thing with that is that I want people to, they really think about what happens when you expand the playoff, because then the regular season, which is its own playoff in a way, is kind of doesn't matter anymore. Like, take if you get put, let's say, you expanded to 8 teams, then Wisconsin Ohio State Big Ten championship doesn't really matter unless one of the teams gets blown out. All it does is it changes seeding. Same thing with the ACC championship and possibly even the SEC championship with Auburn and Georgia. Mm-hmm. So the only thing that I caution with this is that the championship games right now, they're kind of their own little quarterfinals for a lot of teams. So I caution people when they want to expand it so quickly that you might be really just devaluing a lot of the games.
You're right. You're right. That would happen if you only consider 5 conferences, because then you have 5 conferences for 8 spots.
I agree. Yeah.
So that's a problem. That's why. Yeah. You will devaluate a conference championship. It really wouldn't matter.
Yeah, it really wouldn't have much of an impact. So.
Unless you have more conferences.
See, and that's what I was saying. Like, if you want to expand the playoff to expand the range of schools that have access to it as far as conference wise, then that I think is very well warranted. But a lot of people just want. I know a lot of people just want. They want an 18 playoff because they want to see Auburn and Wisconsin in as well. They want to see more. They want to see more football games. And again, the only thing I have to say about that is that then all these championship games that we love mean nothing.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about a transition conference? Just came up with that. So you were saying, and you're right, TV contracts and all that is really not going to allow any of my ideas to become true, because that's where the money is.
Right.
In the AAC, the Conference USA too, but the AAC is much better. The AAC will never, I don't think, will ever consider having a separate championship for just a group of 5. But if you consider, if you bump the AAC to a Power 6 status, and you use it as a transition where if you have the group of 5 championship and the champion goes into the AAC, I'm sorry.
So,
to the American.
So kind of like the promotion relegation system you talked about.
Only with that
conference. Only with that conference. And then that way, group of 5 team, group of 4 at this point.
Group of 6. That's what I'm saying. You have to consider the American as a group of 6.
A power 6.
Maybe. Power 6, sorry. So American would be a power 6.
Right. So the teams...
So they have access to the playoffs and they have access to to the better scheduling. And the group of 4 in this case,
right,
will have their championship game, but the champion goes to the American.
And then, so the American is the only conference that does that relegation. That's an interesting settlement. I think that's a very interesting settlement, and it also gives the American that establishment, that name, that brand recognition that they want.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was, this was, I think, very productive. I hope the NCAA listens to our podcast and takes some notes on us.
A lot of good ideas.
Yeah, we kind of hashed out some really good ideas.
So you should name this podcast that they would change. The day we fix
college football. The moment we fix college football. I like that one. I like that idea.